going to get into today's message. Under God, this is the last one, question mark. And it's grace and truth. Now, I know that the pledge is liberty and justice, but we're going to go with grace and truth today because how many of you know those two things have a lot to do with liberty and justice? Grace and truth, right? How many? Do you know we really want justice when it's on somebody else? But we want grace when it comes to us, right? We want forgiveness when we do something dumb, but when other people do something dumb, we want them to pay for it. I'm going to let you think on that one for a minute, and I'm going to read my notes quietly. Let that one sink in. No, it happens from time to time, and Scripture says, okay, Scripture says that we're supposed to love everybody, even our enemies. Even in the midst of them doing what they're doing to us, we're still supposed to love them if we are Christ-like, if we're going to be Christ-like. The definition of Christian is what? Christ-like, little Christ, right? Little Christians is what they are, little Christ. And it was, again, it was first given as a mockery term, but now we wear it and say this is who we are, proudly. Supposed to be proudly, right? And in the middle of all this craziness, the first week we talked about that we are ambassadors of heaven. God's ambassadors here on earth. And that we are Christians first and Americans second. Some people are like, that's not right, we're American. Well, we are, but we're God's children, first of all. And then other things come. Like I told you guys with my wife and my kids. God is first in my life, then my wife, and then my kids. Kids were kind of upset. They wanted to be a little higher on the top of the chain. I said, that's not how it works. I love you, but your mama comes before you, and God comes before her, always. And if she does it the same way, then we're both in accord and in unity, and things work well. Right? It's when the chaos comes, when things are turned around and in different directions. But so as of today and as of where we're standing at, not to get too political, because y'all know I don't like, this is not the place for politics in my mind, right? The God gives you the wisdom on what to do and what not to do, and you pray and ask him and you follow what he leads and guides you to do, whatever side you sit on, okay? I don't want to go there, but I do want to say this, because every 4 years, right, something happens, and then one of two reactions happen, regardless of who it is, okay? One person is mad and says, that's not right, they didn't do right in counting, and the other one says, just deal with it, counting is right. And then the next 4 years, even if it swaps, the same two things are said, right, over and over and over. I mean, just our place in it is this. You ready? I'm going to tell you our place in it from the scripture, because that's where we're supposed to get everything, right? 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3 says, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayer, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for everyone. Then it says, for kings, that would be our president, because we don't have a king, we have a president, and for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet, godly and dignified in every way. And then it says this, this is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, right? Jesus Christ our Savior. So what are we supposed to do as of this moment right now as Christians, regardless of how happy we are or unhappy we are or whatever? What are we supposed to do? Pray for the people who are in position, according to Scripture. Then Romans 2, 13, 1 and 2 says this, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists what God has appointed, and to those who resist will incur judgment. How many of you know, whether you're happy, whether you're not happy, God's in control of it all. Amen? And we as his children are supposed to act like his children. Not like children, but like his children, okay? We're supposed to honor, we're supposed to walk through, and we're supposed to do what he's called us to do with the gifts and abilities he's called us to do. And when we do what we're supposed to do as a church, guess what? The world sees God in the way that he should be looked at, the way that he should be viewed. So in the middle of all this craziness, man, I urge you to do that. Remember, as we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, that we are ambassadors. Children of God first, Americans second. Week two, we talked about living under God or under culture. Which one are you influenced by? The culture and what the world says is okay for us to do, or by what God has called us to do and be? And how many of you know, sometimes we become under the influence and don't even realize it until somebody points it out to us. Until we take an evaluation and say, hey, hold on, God, where am I at right now? According to where you want me to be. Because sometimes, again, like the GPS, you can't get where you're going, where you want to go to, unless you know where you're at, right? If I don't know I need to change, know I need to move. And again, I want to encourage you with this. If you were standing still, you're going backwards. Think about it physically and spiritually, right? So if I work out, I work out. Guess what? I quit working out for about 3 weeks, and I can tell a difference in me. Why? I mean, I wasn't still just eating crazy and doing stupid stuff. Okay, sometimes I did. I can't lie in church, God. There was that few meals, you know. But ultimately, when I stopped pressing forward, guess what happened? Your body physically atrophies. That's what happens. That's why if you lay up in a hospital bed for too long, you're so weak you can't hardly stand up, right? Different things. You'd be like, well, why? I was just laying there. I wasn't doing anything. Well, that's the reason. Spiritually is the exact same way. So how can we expect to grow spiritually and open this up once a month, once a week, every now and then? How can we extend to be in his presence, expect for God to do amazing things, and us only come to him when we're in need of something? Remember, God is not an ATM machine that you go to when you need something, right? It's a relationship that we have with him. How many of you, now, God, aren't you glad God doesn't treat us the way we treat other people? Like, he's better than us in this aspect. But how many people, if they only come to you when they want something, you stop answering their phone calls, right? I'm so glad God is not that way. I'm so thankful. But understand, are we living under culture or are we living under God? Again, Jesus said you can't have two masters. One or the other. Revelation says, I wish that you were hot or cold, but you're not either one, so I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. So according to God, he would rather us be on fire for him or not come to him. That's what that scripture says, right? I wish that you were hot or cold, but you're neither, so I'm going to spit you out. I want to be gentle. Too late, right? Either we're for God or we're not, man. Either we're living for God or we're not. So that week two. Then the next week is working together as one body, unity. Do you know what? We can accomplish so much if we come together. We'll get absolutely nothing done if we don't. The only thing that'll happen if we work individually is we get worn out, tired, burnt out, frustrated. That's what happens. But when we come together and we have multiple people doing it, do you know what? The load is lighter all the way across, and we're able to accomplish twice as much, right? All right, now we're going to get into today. Y'all ready? John 1, I'm going to read 1 through 5, and then I'm going to skip to 14. So I want you guys to read this with me. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Then it skips to verse 14, and it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. How many know we're supposed to be full of grace and truth? It's what we're supposed to live. That's how we're supposed to live our lives. And so I'm going to talk to you about something. Some of you guys may have never heard this term before, but it's called post-Christian. Many people believe, according to Barna Research, 48% of Americans identify as post-Christian. We are one nation under God, some of us, right? But as a whole, if we look, now this research that I'm going to tell you about, it was done in 2017. I mean, you know, there's been a vast change since 2017, not in God's favor, right, with society. Most people, for years, most people in our country embraced Jesus, that Jesus was the only way, spoke about Jesus, but now it's under fire, so you can't, you can say God, but you can't say Jesus, right? And you could talk about different things, but Jesus is taken out of the equation in a lot of things, even with Christmas, right? They put the X in, some people get really mad about that, some people don't, whatever. If you want to get mad about it, get mad about it, but I'd rather get mad about people not coming to Christ than whether you put an X in front of Christ. I'm just, this is me. This is me. I'm funny that way, I guess. But according to Barner research, again, 48% of Americans are post-Christian. So to qualify as post-Christian, individuals had to meet 9 or more of the following factors. And highly post-Christian individuals met 13 or more of these 16 that I'm going to read to you. The first one is they do not believe in God. The second one is that they identify as atheist or agnostic. Atheist, according to the Google machine, is a person who disbelieves or lacks belief in the existence of God or gods. Agnostic is a person who believes that nothing is known or can be known of the existence or nature of God or of anything beyond material phenomena. A person who claims neither faith nor disbelief in God. So that's one of those two. So that's the first two. The next one has not prayed to God in the last week, has never made a commitment to Jesus, disagrees that the Bible is accurate, has not donated money to the church in the last year, has not attended church in the last 6 months, agrees that Jesus committed sins, do not feel responsible to share their faith, have not read their Bible in the last week, have not volunteered in the last week, have not attended church in the last week, have not attended religious small groups in the last week. Then it says the Bible engagement scale, low. They have not read the Bible in the past week or somewhat disagree that the Bible is accurate. And then not born again. So those are the 13 curriculum, the 13 things, factors. So 48% have 9 of these in their life. At least 9 of these in their life. And again, since the research has changed, since it's gone downhill in the last couple of years, I'm sure if they did the research again. Now, this study was done over a 10-year period, right? So in 10 years, they gathered all this research and did that, and this is what they've come up with, 48% of people. So this is what we need to understand, is that some people have stayed connected with Christianity somewhat, or they've completely rejected it. Half of our country, right? Half of Americans. And this is the thing that we need to understand. A lot of them, it's not that they don't know about Jesus, about what he's done. It's that they don't care. Like, in the grand scheme of my life, I don't care. It doesn't matter. When ultimately, man, it's everything. Understanding that we're only here for a short time. Now, it may seem like a really, really long time, but in reality, it's very, very short. We're not promised tomorrow, right? None of us. I guarantee you there's going to be some people that are going to stand in front of God today, right? Woke up this morning not knowing that this was going to be their last time, their last opportunity, right? And listen, I'm not trying to scare you into coming to Jesus. I'm wanting to point some truth out to you, truth and grace. That's what we're going to go with. So I'm going to give you a little bit of both of that today. And again, Romans 1, 21 through 25 points this out in the Word, like it was written for today. Verse 21, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanging the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to the lusts of their own hearts, to impurity, to dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. How many know that describes our situation perfectly right now, right? What has happened is faith in Christ has moved from the center of things, if he's still involved at all, to the fringe of things. Right? Like, everything in my life is more important, and I will talk about Jesus and God if I have time and if it's available. Just to be honest. Don't worry, we'll get better in a little bit. You guys are getting serious on me again. I need to tell it. Somebody have a joke? No, just kidding. Maybe I'll come up with one in a minute. We've moved from being positive, Jesus and him being involved in it, to being a threat or being negative in society. Today, if you say that you're a Christian, more people think derogatory about that than they do positive about that. Squirrel. Y'all ready? It's our fault. It's our fault. I say, why does he say that? Because I chase squirrels a lot, so just so you know. There was another one. It is our fault. The lack of hot, the middle ground, the lukewarm is what has caused that. Just to be honest. This is the thing. When the world gets darker, the light needs to shine brighter. And that's what happens when light comes out, right? When light comes out, darkness has to go away. There's no option. You can't be like, oh yeah, but not here. No, it does. When light comes, so think this thought. With the amount of people that we have today, if we all went out these doors and shone the light of Christ in our life in a real way, not a half-hearted way, but a real way, what impact would we have in this community? If not just this building, this place, but if all of the Christians in America would come together and put Christ first and God first in all of this mess, guess what would happen? Darkness would have no place. Jesus didn't tell us to hide from the world and from the darkness that's in it. He said for us to go share the light. Make disciples of all people. So, quick, how do we not run from culture? So, he tells us don't run from culture, influence it. Remember the whole thermostat thing. Are you a thermostat that changes, or are you a thermometer that just gauges what's going on around you and fits in with what's there? I think John said that one time, a long time ago, at a youth camp or something. That's where I remember that from. Was it Matt? Matt said it. I'll give one of them credit. It wasn't me. It just sounded really good when I said it. I'm just saying. It's a true statement. Like, are we changing the things that are around us, or do we just blend right in and nobody ever knows? I remember, man, and I tell you this, I remember I was at work one time and I was putting windows in a house, and me and the person I was putting windows in for, that we didn't know each other, but we had a friend that worked with him and a guy that went to my church and was one of the guys that did almost everything in our church. And I was like, yeah, he goes to church with me. He's like, I don't think we're talking about the same guy. The guy I'm friends with don't go to church. I'm like, yeah. I pull him up, I'm like, that's him. He's like, yeah, that's him, but I don't think he goes to church. I'm like, wow, look at the difference. Think that thought. If I went to somebody's house that you are around all the time, and I tell them that you come here and that we're a part of a faith family together, and that you're part of Victory Church and involved, will they be shocked? Will they even know? Be like, man, I didn't know that. That's cool, right? Like, I didn't know they went there. Or they'd be like, oh no, not that person. Split personality or something, because he's something totally different here, right? But honestly, how would it look? What would it look like? What would it look like? We're not supposed to run from it. We're not supposed to fit in with it. We're supposed to influence it. So the question is, how do we faithfully live for Jesus in a post-Christian culture? Because that's where we're at. So number one, I want to give it to you. We should live with grace and truth. Grace and truth. So I looked up the definitions of both of those, and both of them gave a Christian a world-based and then a Christian-based. So I'm going to give you the Christian-based belief, right? Grace, in the Christian belief, the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in salvation of sinners and bestowal of blessings. That's what grace is. Truth is the quality or state of being true. And the King James definition, because in the back of your Bible, you know how they have definitions. It is conformity to fact or reality, exact accordance in that which is, has been, or will be. Does that make sense? Truth. So there's truth and there's not truth, right? There's grace and there's the opposite of grace, right? Which is what? Condemnation, right? Which is judgment, right? And understand this. We live right now under the dispensation of grace, right? So understanding grace means that we can have salvation, that we have God's unmerited favor. We didn't earn it. He'll give it to us if we accept it. Yeah? He'll give it to you if you accept it. But it's not a lack of judgment forever. It's not doing away with judgment forever. Scripture says that we'll stand accountable for every idle word that we speak. That's truth. Grace is that God has given us the ability to have freedom from it through his son. See the two difference? See the two sides? This is the truth. This is how it is. This is what's going to happen. Grace is God saying, it doesn't have to happen. I've made a way for you. I've made an opportunity for you to escape the dumb things that you've done. How many of you do dumb things? Be honest. This is your time. We'll give a thing online in a minute for all of them. Raise your hand. Right? We all do dumb things sometimes. God has said, I love you. And even though you do some foolish things, man, even though you don't do right, I care about you, and I made a way so that you could come into my presence. John 1:14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the problem with our interpretation of the scriptures. You guys ready? And this is for everybody, not just one. This is for everybody. We tend to lean too far towards one option than the other option instead of standing in the middle and doing the whole counsel of God. Just to be honest. We want to lean really, really hard on truth when it's on other people. And again, we want to do really, really hard on grace when it's us. Truth of the Bible, y'all ready? Truth says that you're a sinner, you're going to hell. There's nothing you turn to God, turn or burn, right? I remember when we was with our youth group in Louisiana, and we were the idiot youth pastors that drove 4.5 hours to go to the beach to turn around and drive 4.5 hours back the same day. So that was 8.5 hours to spend 3 hours at the beach. It was great, you know? Anyway, it was a lot of fun. But in the middle of our drive, man, we went from just outside Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and we came all the way over, and we started going down, and we were in Foley, Alabama on our way to Gulf Shores, right? Foley, Alabama is a place with home the hand-thrown roads. If you've never been there, shameless commercial. Go there. It's amazing. Anyway, it's very good. Lambert's. Write it down. A cafe. Home of the hand-thrown roads. Anyway, we're on our way there, and what ends up happening is we pass this intersection with a whole bunch of people holding up signs telling me I'm going to hell. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. Do you know what I want to do? I want to go get a bunch of signs and stand like this is not, I'm not being dumb. Maybe I am, but I'm being serious, right? I want to get a whole bunch of signs and just put Jesus loves you. God loves you. He sent his son for you. And go stand on a street corner with that kind of a sign. Because there's so much that is Jesus, right? Wow. What?
do you know what? If you don't give your life to Christ, if you don't accept Jesus into your heart, there is one location, destination that you will find yourself in, according to Scripture. Now, there's people that disagree with that even too now, right? But that's okay. If you don't come to Jesus and accept the gift that Christ, that God has given you, you will end up in a certain location, a certain destination. That is truth. It's in the Scripture. There is a lot of truth in here that we do not want to hear. There's a lot of truth in here that we do not want to stand in front of. Doesn't make it any less true. But there's also grace in here that allows us to escape that when the time comes. But there's only one way to do it. Right? How many of you know if I rely only on the truth and I don't ever share grace, I'm not doing people a service. I'm not reaching people for God. If I only preach that everything's good, everything's peachy, and it'll all be okay in the end, regardless of what you do. How many of you know? Sounds fun. Sounds amazing. It's not in there. It's not there. So if I lean so hard on grace, let me take it to another place. It's not even in our message today. Y'all ready? Somebody's going to get mad. It's okay. Do you know what? Prosperity is in the Word of God. It is there. Now, if I throw out grace and truth and I tell you everything is going to be good because God's going to bless you with riches untold, Scripture talks about riches that are untold, different meaning than what we think about, right? It's not money. It's not things. It's not stuff. Now, does God give us those things? He does. He does. Look at Job. Look at Job. He got a double portion of everything he had, right? There's blessing in there. But if I go only for that blessing, and that's what I preach from here, do you know what? I'm wrong. And it doesn't help you guys find what God has for you in the slightest bit. Again, we need to have the whole counsel of God in our lives. We need to grab onto it. We need to hold on to it. Number two, y'all ready? Truth without grace leads to rules and rebellion. Truth without grace leads to rules and rebellion. Rules are legalism, right? If you come to Jesus, you have to do this. You have to do that. You have to wear slacks to church. You can no longer wear jeans or shorts. And flip-flops are out the window for men and women. I'm just saying. No open-toed shoes, right? Where is that in the Word of God, right? I want to make you smile a little bit. Y'all were looking kind of sour for a minute. Legalism, no movies, no lipstick, no secular music, no dad. You remember, my dad used to say this all the time, and I know where he got it from, but I'm just going to give credit to my dad. But there was a long time, because he came up as a pastor. He was a part of the Assemblies of God, the AG, and they were against lipstick for a long time, lipstick and earrings and makeup and, you know, all different things. She's saying, if the barn needs painting, paint it. You know what I mean? Do it. God's not against that, right? And that's a funny way to think about it. But how many rules and regulations do we put in God's Word that aren't there? How many stipulations do we put? Again, I like what you told me about Dr. Pepper, right? There was a pastor who got in a pulpit, started preaching about how Dr. Pepper was sinful. And he needed to quit. Well, God had told him to stop drinking Dr. Pepper because he was drinking like cases of it a day. And his health was bad. And the doctor said, you need to quit that. So from the pulpit, he said, Dr. Pepper is evil. Don't drink it. That's, hold up, man. Where is thou shalt not drink Dr. Pepper? I can't find it. But where are half of the thou shalts that we put in here in Christianity, into the church, into belonging to a family that aren't there? Legalism. You have to do this or God doesn't love you. You know what you have to do? There has to be a change. There does, according to the Word of God. Repentance has to come. So there will be a change. But how do we come about that? By what Jesus Christ did for us and saying, man, I can't do it on my own. I can't do it on my own. There's so many things, man, that we need to understand. Do you know the quickest way to raise a rebellious teenager? Do you know the quickest way to do this society? Right? Now, understand, granted, I was just an idiot growing up. Didn't matter how they raised me. You know what I mean? So just as a general thought process, is rules without relationship. Rules without relationship. Do you know so many people come to God because they're hurt and they're broken, and we hand them a list of rules that they have to do, and they leave out of this place and they can't do them. Can't. Because that's their nature inside. They haven't exchanged it for what Christ has done for them, and they go out of here and it makes it even worse than it ever could have been before. Because they're trying to do a whole bunch of junk to earn God's grace. You can't. Grace, truth without grace leads to rules and rebellion. Number three. I'm going to go on to number three. Y'all ready? Grace without truth leads to do whatever and believe whatever. Grace without truth, do whatever, believe whatever. Do you know what it ends up being? It ends up being a license to do whatever you want. God understands. He understands where you're at. He understands that it's difficult to live for him. He gets all of that. It's okay. Don't worry, it's a process. Do you know in order for something to be a process, there has to be steps that are taken in a forward progression, right? I'm going to be real with y'all. For a long time in my life, I was in a process that was going nowhere because I was okay being in a process. I'm calling it a process. Saying, don't judge me. I'm in the process. I'm stuck in that process. I'm going to stay right here in the process forever. Did you know you should... Oh... Don't you understand that I have freedom? Paul talks about it. Paul also talks away putting away all the worldly things in your life and living a life like that. We don't want to hear that part of it. We just want I got freedom. Yay. We can start dancing at the altar like Footloose or something. Right? Some of y'all remember that show? Some of you too young? It's okay. We can just do whatever we want to do. So I'm just to be real, man. I was at a place and there was a bunch of young people that had come for school and for doing certain things and it was just put your faith properly in what Christ has done. Now, let me tell you something. To overcome the battles that we face, putting our faith in Christ is a necessity. You don't have freedom ever. Without that step, right? Ever. But I can say that my faith is in something and do exactly the opposite and it not be okay. So you had some people who were going out and doing all these things, vile, wicked, evil things, while they were in school for God, Bible college, and saying, it's okay for me to do those because I'm under grace and he's paid for all of it. And it's okay because I have my faith in him properly. So I'm trying to think how to be nice. How to be gentle. How to be honest and truthful and grace. In the midst of all of it. Truth and grace. Truth and grace. Truth and grace. What happens is we do little snippets that make us feel good, but it's not enough to make a difference in our lives. Come to church on a Sunday. We may put a little bit in an offering plate every now and then. We may do this. We may do that. Man, look, I gave the dude outside of Publix a donut out of my box. So I'm good, forgiven for a little while, right? I did my part. There was the poor, and I fed him. I got that one. It's off my checklist, God. That was today. What about tomorrow? Right? We put a checklist of, well, I've done this. But not understanding that a life with God is about sacrifice and service to others, not about ourselves. Not about how great I've done or what I've done or look at me, I did better than him, right? Again, it's not a race, right? It's not zombie apocalypse, me trip Jen, I get to God sooner. That's not how it works, right? That's not what happens. It's like we want a flu shot of Jesus, right? We want just enough Jesus to keep away the bad stuff, right? We want just enough to keep away the issues and the problems and the trials, but we don't want to give him everything, right? Oh, grace without truth ends up being believe whatever. They call that relativism, no objective truth. As long as you're happy, that's all that matters. Because God wants you happy. I haven't found that one yet. So if you have that in your repertoire of Bible knowledge, please share it with me. Because I'd love to be able to quote that, but I can't. As long as you're sincere, man, it doesn't really matter what you do. As long as that's one of the things that we do with our heart. Well, my heart was right in doing it, so I slapped that person because my heart was right. Wait a minute. Well, I told them how horrible their life was because my heart was right and how I did it. No, man. How many of you know just because it's true, you don't have to say it? That was a squirrel too. You don't have to say it just because it's truth, right? Just as long as you're sincere, that's all that matters. Doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you really, God understands that. As long as it doesn't hurt anyone, it doesn't really matter what you do. Well, it doesn't hurt anybody for me to do these things. Does it make it right for you to do them? Well, nobody sees them because I do it in private at my house and nobody sees it. Does it make it okay? Grace and truth, they have to be put together. Understand that grace in this is listed before truth. So why don't we lead with grace and then give truth? Why don't we lead with acceptance when people walk in that front door and then allow God to bring the truth to them? Why don't we accept people no matter what they believe and who they are as a person, not accepting what they're doing, but how on earth are people going to know what a Christ follower looks like without an example of a Christ follower? Again, half of these people aren't picking up their Bible to read and understand what's going on. Half of the country, we've already established that with the survey at the beginning from 2017. I bet you if they did it today, it'd be way worse. I'd really like technology, but do you know the one thing I like better than technology right now when I read the Word of God? To pick up a Bible and actually read the book. I like it. I don't know why. I don't like books. I'm not a book guy. I'm like, hey, do you have that book? I do. It's on my shelf. I haven't read it yet, but I got a bunch of them up there. Look how knowledgeable I am if I would just read those books maybe. Right? Oh, we need to lead with grace and then come back with truth. We need to have a safe place for people to belong before they believe. Right? Come here and sit and let us love on you. Let us show you what Christ, the love of Christ actually looks like. We need to have a safe place for people to belong before they behave. How many of you, it took a long little while for you to start acting like you were supposed to act when you came to Christ? To get rid of some things? Right, I had a lunch with a friend the other day, man, and we were talking about it, and he's like, dude, I said, listen, some things on me fell off like that. Some things I'm struggling with 20 years later. Right? Why am I struggling with it? Because I'm hard-headed. Just be honest. I'm going to tell you all the truth. Why are you struggling with it? I'm not going to say it. You can fill in the blank. Our message can't be you need to change your behavior and then you can be one of us. Right. Our message has to be come and follow Jesus and Him lead you into the life that He has for you. The post-Christian generation is skeptical about truth now because it's been so watered down and so changed and so wishy-washy in the church. And I want you to know something. I'm not down on the church. You know why? Because I'm in the church. I'm one of them. So are you. Right? I'm not pointing my finger and saying, you guys need to do better. I'm saying, we need to do better. Because we haven't gotten it all right. We still have issues. We still have problems. I can guarantee you that if I had a show of hands in here of who has been hurt by someone that was inside the church, probably everybody's hand be up, or most of them, right? You know, I hope you never find a perfect church. I hope I never find a perfect church because I'm going to mess it up somehow, right? Because I'm not perfect, right? If we found a perfect church, man, just run. That's all I'm saying, right? We all have issues. We all have problems. We all need to understand to accept people in and then allow God to change them, not tell them they have to fix your broken arm so you don't bleed on my ER floor, right? One thing we need to understand, man, we can't have truth without grace. Because one of the things about truth that we need to know and understand is that truth isn't restrictive. Truth isn't repressive. Truth isn't oppressive. According to Scripture, truth is freeing, liberating, and life-giving. John 8:32 says this. It says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We need some freedom in our life. Do you know this is the thing? This is the funny thing about truth, man. This y'all, when I say this, y'all gonna be like, yup. Look at the Garden of Eden. When God put Adam there and told him, Eve wasn't here yet. She comes just shortly after. When he put him there and he gave him the rules about the tree, what did he say? I'm gonna tell you. Genesis 2:15. I'm going to read 15 through 17. It says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. So remember all those people, it's like we didn't have work until sin came. No, we had work before, but it was pleasurable work and not hard, what Scripture says earlier. So we still had things to do. He still had things to do, checklists and stuff he had to go do, but it was enjoyable while he did it. That's another side, but that's okay. 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. What did he say? He's like, look at all the freedom you have. Look at everything I've given to you. Just don't mess with this one, because it's going to hurt you. But you can do anything you want, any of those, but not this one. Do you know what we hear when we read it? Don't eat of that tree. So then we're like, shoo. Right? You mean, You mean this tree right here? That was me as a kid, right? You mean that one? Don't touch that one. Anyway, so if you understand that there's more freedom in our lives than there are restrictions as Christians. But we only deal with the restrictions. Like, we focus in on those things. In the garden, there were more freedoms than restrictions. The truth isn't just about rules and regulations and things you have to do. According to Scripture, the truth sets you free. Gives you freedom, gives you liberty. Only Paul says, don't use your liberty as an occasion to sin. That's where we lose it. Well, I'm free, so I can do anything I want. No. You can't. But look how much more you can do than what you just can't do. Don't focus on what you don't get to have be a part of your life. If y'all only knew what went on in my brain, y'all would be, oof. Anyway. Grace without truth. So, for a long time now, the church as a whole has promoted grace without truth. Like, back in the 80s, it was all truth without grace, right? I'm just, what I remember of it, I was little, but that's what I remember of it. Maybe that's because that was what I focused on, like I said, with the tree, right? But for a long time, it was all about hell and brimstone and fire and brimstone and you're going to hell, come to Jesus. Or their guys with white robes are going to come and chop your head off. Y'all remember that movie? That was a movie. And it was about the rapture and about what happened afterwards and all these things. And it scared people to come to Jesus. But the problem was is they came to him to get out of hell free card. And they didn't have a relationship with him. And because of it, it ended up being all messed up. Is there going to be a rapture? Yes. Is there going to be tribulations that come? Yes. Do we go out before or after? I don't know. I'll see when it comes. Right? Like, if I'm here, God will help me get through them. If I'm not, then I pray for the people who are. And I want people to change. I want people to see that there's freedom. You don't have to live under the bondages of this world. You don't have to live under the labels that people have given you. You don't have to live under all the condemnation that comes because of the sin that you're living in. There's freedom, and you can have it now. You can have it now. Do you know what Jesus did? He told the truth, and he lived in grace. Right? He told the truth. And he shared grace. Sometimes there's going to be times where we have to share truth. And it's going to be tough. And it hurts. And toes are going to get stepped on. People are going to be mad. That's what Paul said. Right? You mad at me because I tell you the truth. Right? Sometimes it's going to happen. But don't go out the door and be like, everybody's going to be mad at me, so I'm just going to tell them all truth. No, man. There's certain situations where truth isn't what's needed. Grace is what's needed. There's certain times that so when I was a youth pastor, we had this. This was before I was a youth pastor. I was just a youth worker, and April and I had just met. We had just gotten married, and we were having a youth camp. And the youth pastor at the time, Pastor P. Phillip, he took an egg, and he was holding it up like this. And he said, do you know with this egg, I can apply as much pressure as possible if I do it in the right way. Some of y'all are going to try this at home. You're going to get egg all over you because you didn't do it right. But that's okay. If you take an egg, end on end, you know how it's kind of oblong? If you take an egg and you press, you can press as hard as you want to on the top and the bottom of that egg perfectly, and it will not bust. As soon as you alter it just a little bit, you're going to be egg all over your hand and all over the floor and on your clothes, and it's going to be rough. And he did it. He took the egg, and he was squeezing as hard as he could. And then he had somebody else turn it sideways, and he smashed it, right? Oh, man, I didn't do it right. But, you know, there are some times where hard pressure is needed. It's needed, but it's not all the time. More if you understand an egg, more of the body of that egg needs grace than truth at the moment, right? If you look at Jesus, there were times that he stood up. He called people a brood of vipers, snakes, evil. He called them those things. And those were people that were in the church. Those were people that were in the church. So understand, there's a time to confront hypocrisy. There's a time to stand up and say, this is wrong, 100%, and I'm not deviating from it, period. But do you know, he also comforted those that were living in sin and gave them an opportunity for change. He goes to a well where the Samaritan woman was, understanding the relationship between Samaritans and Jews, friction, not good. And he goes there. She's living in sin. He says, where's your husband? He's like, you've had five, and the guy you're with right now ain't even your husband. And she's like, whoa, 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 how do you know all these things? And then he said, you're evil, and because of it, you're going to go to hell. That's not what he said. What did he say? He said, I have something that I can give to you, and you'll never thirst again. And then he said, go and what? Sin no more. Truth, Jesus goes into the temple, says it's been turned into a business, turns over tables, beats guys with a whip out of the church. I don't even know if that happened at church a little bit. There might be a little bit less people doing wrong stuff. I don't know. I'm just saying. That's in Mark 21. That's in Matthew 21, Mark 11. You can look at that later. But then he invited a tax collector and sinners and prostitutes to sit at his table. And you know what? Those are the people who change the world. Truth and grace. He called out duplicity, slammed hypocrisy, hated pretense, but he loved outcasts. He touched lepers, and he befriended prostitutes. What did he do? He allowed the gifts that he had to change people's life. So think this thought, man. Is there a time for us to bring truth out? Yes, but let's give grace before we hit them with the truth. Right? I'm going to beat you up with the truth of Jesus, and then I'm going to tell you how to be healed. Right? Is that what happens? We beat them with the Bible and tell them that Jesus is a comfort to you. Right? That's what happens. Why? Let's tell them that God is good, that he made a way that you don't have to live in sin, that he made a way that you can have access to the Father. He made a way for you to not be where you're at, and I want to help you find it. One of my favorite stories about the grace of God is the woman caught in the act of adultery. Now, there are so many questions about this story that you just aren't in there. Like, where was the guy at in this thing, right? Where was all these other things? Like, how? You know, anyway. John 8, 1 through 11 is the story. And because of time, I'm going to paraphrase it. You can go back and look at it again. They bring him, her, they throw him at his feet, because they're trying to trap him, because they know that he's about grace, and he knows the law of what the law says, and they're all about truth, 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 and no grace. They're saying, we're going to trap him because he's all about grace, 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 and no truth. How many know that wasn't who Jesus was, but that's what they saw. So they throw him at his feet, her at his feet, and they say, what are you going to do with her? And it says, Jesus bent down and did something in the sand. Who knows? Maybe he drew a line, or maybe, I don't know what he did. It doesn't tell us. Probably because it's not important to the story. That's why we don't have it. But he said, you who is without sin, cast the first stone. What if we would take that philosophy in our lives as the church? All right, you don't have any sin? Go ahead and throw some stones. You know, there'd be a whole lot less stones thrown if people were honest. But what ended up happening? He said, hey, nobody else is here to condemn you, and I don't condemn you either. I'm like, go and sin no more. Right now is an opportunity for you to change and to leave that behind you. Guys, come on, I'm going to quit. I'm not done in my notes, I don't think, but I'm going to quit anyway because this is a good point. As Christians, we don't need to draw the lines in the sand and say you got to get on this side or the other. What Jesus did is he went across the line and he walked them back with him. Now, in saying that, let me clarify, because somebody will be like, all right, I'm going to head to here because it's all because I'm bringing them back. No. He didn't join in with what they had going on. He didn't start doing the things they were doing. He met them where they are and said, there is a better way. Show me. Let me show you. Let me show you. And then when he brought them over here, he said, this is where you need to be at. This is who you need to be with to help you. Because again, going back to last week, we can't do it on our own. Remember the whole divide and conquer thing? I think I said that about a month ago. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to get us away from people so we're by ourselves and so he can attack us in all those different options and areas. All the different ways that contribute to each and every one of us. How many of you know you have vulnerabilities in your life? If you have vulnerability, put your hand up. If you have issues, if you have things that you struggle with, if you have areas that you could stumble in your life, put your hand up. If everybody's hand ain't up, y'all lying. I'm just saying. And that's your area of weakness. We all have things that we need people to stand beside us and help carry us and lift us up and not say, man, you're an idiot. You fell down. You can't hang out with us no more. There's a time for truth. And it's in the Word of God. And it needs to be shared with as much love in our heart as we extend grace to people, which is there. Again, let's lead with grace. Let's lead with grace and allow God to bring the truth. Allow Jesus to change them, because it's not, that isn't a spiritual gift. Like, that's not one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, change other people. That's not yours. That's what he does. He does that. He didn't give us the authority and the giftings and the powers to do that. Nowhere in there does it say that. So let's love people, man. Let's extend grace to them. Let's invite them to come and be a part of what we're doing, right? We've got some things coming up, man. We need you to invite people. We have a family Thanksgiving dinner. Like, we're not putting it out on Facebook to invite the whole world, but people that you're in relationship with, invite them, bring them. Why? We need them to come around the people of God and see that not all the people, some of us are still a little crazy, but not all of us are, right? That we love people, that we care about people, no matter how they are, no matter what they're right at right now. We're going to love them. We're going to walk. We're not going to enable them to keep doing the things that they're doing, but we're going to stand beside them and help them see Jesus in our lives. And because of it, want to change. Now, all that comes with a commitment and a truth for you. You guys ready for the truth? If your life isn't what it should be, it needs to change. If there's sin that's in your life, it needs to be gone. You need to let God have it. And the cool thing about it is today you have an opportunity to say, God, I'm going to give you everything that I have. I'm going to lay down the sin that I've been carrying because I don't want it no more. And I'm going to ask you to help me be who you created me to be. And this isn't for just people who don't believe in him. This is for all of us, because we all have issues and areas that we're struggling with that today's an availability and an option for us to go on. Because if my life isn't Christ-like, like, and look, I ain't saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying you're perfect, right? My wife is perfect. She's perfect, but nobody else. Sorry, I just had to make y'all laugh because y'all were looking bitter again. Listen, look. Now is the opportunity for you to change. Because if your life isn't right and you're proclaiming Christ, you're in the lukewarm section, not the hot or the cold. It's time that we come out of that middle and we go 100% for God. We go 100% towards grace, 100% towards truth, 100% towards whatever His word says. And we stand behind that. So, bow your heads, close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, right now, we don't need to raise our hands, man. You know who we are. You know the issues that we have. You know the struggles that are going on in our lives. We're going to say a prayer right now, Father, and give everything to you. And if that's what you want to do, I want you to repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for my sins. The things I'm holding on to that don't belong. The sin, the regret, the condemnation that I hold. I need freedom now that your son paid for. I accept it now. Help me change and be who you created me to be. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Let's give God a hand because He's good to us. Amen. I want to go over some things really quick. I'm just going to be real with you. Over the next 2 months, I'm going to ask you guys to do and to give a lot. All right? You ready? I'm going to explain why. We've got some people. And I don't have a big list yet. So if you know, this is my call of qualifications. If you know a family that is in need of Thanksgiving, can't do it, I need some information on that, please, if you would give that to me. We're going to try and do some gift baskets, some Thanksgiving dinners. We have some that are given to us already that we've talked about. We'd like to put some more together. You say, well, how many do we have yet? We don't know. They haven't given us the number about what they've given to us and how we can do it. We want to be able to help our food pantry as well as people that we know that we're in fellowship with. So if you want to give, next week we will have a list of things for you to bring, like stuffing, like stuff that we can just put in a basket and hand over, and then they can have their own meal. Does that make sense? Like green beans and stuffing and different things that they can make. They can put their own special twist on it because it's just coming out of a box. You know, how many of you are really good at that? Like you take a box of something and you're like, ugh, and then it's something amazing. See, there's people that can do that. Especially people that have done that their whole life because they don't have a whole lot, right? That happens sometimes. Anyway, we want to be able to do that. Right? We're going to have our family Thanksgiving dinner here too on the 22nd. There's some sign-up sheets outside there. You say, what is that? We put some tables up in here. We have the food next door. We just come and hang out for a couple hours, man, and just enjoy each other. I'm not going to preach. Unless you sit across from me, then you might get something. I don't know. Right? Who knows? We're going to just come and have fun. Now, this is your opportunity to invite people that you're close to that you want to come to church and find Jesus, right? Because some people ain't going to come to church unless there's food involved, right? Some people won't come to a church service, but they'll come to a dinner because you've invited them or asked them to. It's an amazing time to bring some people. I know a couple people. So Rob came to me. Rob said, hey, man, is it all right if I invite people? Because I already invited two. I'm like, yeah, that's fine, man. Invite people. But the other thing that I need for you to do, invite people, but two, out on the thing, not where the donuts are. Y'all know where the donuts are. On the other one, there's some sign-up sheets, man. We need some people that will bring a turkey, and that we got a couple that signed up for ham. We have one person that said, I'll cook it, and another one said, I'll donate it. So if you're available to cook, you say, hey, I'll cook if I have a turkey, or I can do this, or I can do that, or if you need help with getting things, come and see me. Let me know. But we want to make sure we have enough food for everybody. So we do have a sign-up sheet out there, right? We have a sign-up sheet if you're planning on coming and then how many people you're bringing. How many of you know we need to have enough food for everybody? If we have two turkeys and 35 people,
somebody ain't getting turkey.
Everybody's getting a slice this big, right? Like an olive-sized turkey. That's what you're getting, man. So we need to know who's coming, how many you think you're going to bring. And then again, bring something, man, and be involved. With that, too, we have Food Pantry coming up. We have our midweek Bible studies. You guys can look on the paper that you got when you came in. If you didn't get one, maybe there's one or two more. Or you can have mine. I'll give it to you. I know what's on there. We have men's breakfast Saturday the 14th. Right, guys, come and hang out. We're going to eat and have a good time and just enjoy. And then Waves. The ladies are going to be doing a shopping trip the day after Black Friday. That would be the Saturday they're going to do it. They generally go to Daytona Beach to the Tanger Outlet Mall there, and they go and hang out and have a good time, drive separate. You can come and go as you want. If you want to stay all day, you can. If you don't want to stay all day, you don't have to. As Alyssa said, why are you looking at me? I don't know. I know you like to shop. My wife does too, sometimes. Anyway, they're also, Loretta told me before, and I'll have more information. I don't have all the information on it right now. They're going to do something here for the ladies who don't want to go shopping and don't want to go face the crowds and do all the craziness. So there's a couple opportunities for you there. And then we are going to, and it's not on here because I didn't have room and because we just met Tuesday to get some different things done. We're going to do the Night Under the Stars again this year. Okay, if you weren't a part of it last year, we set up tents out here. We had the Zeplas, which were amazing. If you don't know what those are, yeah. I'm just come and find out. We're going to have a cookie decorating tent for kids. We're going to have popcorn. We're going to have our big outdoor movie screen put up and probably show The Star again this year because that's a really, really good cartoon Christmassy thing. We're going to use the Rapture Air's property next door and put up our hayride again and do the things with the live nativity scene and the different things. And so we need help with that as well. Okay. We want you to invite people to come to that. Again, these are opportunities that the Night Under the Stars, although I really want you all to come, it's not for you. It's for us to reach out to our community and to the people that are around us. Okay. So come, but bring people with you. I'm going to invite the neighborhood. I'm going to get a hold of I'm on the thing for the Three Lakes neighborhood back here. I'm going to invite them to come hang out with us. What does it cost? Absolutely nothing. What does it cost us? Man, we might need some bags of popcorn. We might need some sprinkles to put on the cookies. We might need some people to serve pizza that's coming from places and rotate. We're only going to do 2 hours this year from 6 to 8. And so we'll have, you know, plenty of time for, like, if we have enough people, they can serve the first hour and then hang out the second hour, or they can hang out the first hour and serve the second hour, right? So we just want you guys to be involved. And then one more thing. What?
Bring bug spray.
Bug spray. I'm hoping it's going to be cold by then.
Last year it wasn't.
It's
big enough you can feel them hit you.
If you want to donate bug spray, donate some bug spray. That's it. Somebody, but anyway, there's that too. And then one more thing. We're going to do something this year that we talked about. We're going to put a little tree out in the thing. I need some kids who don't get Christmas, who aren't going to get Christmas. Not some kids who are just going to get an okay Christmas, so we want to send them over the top. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for kids, families who are in need. And what we want to do is we want to put the names of, or not names, but the ages and the male, female. And what we're going to ask people to do is to purchase Christmas for that child. One gift that's $50 or less, one gift that's $25 or less, and a stocking filled with stuff, right? Stocking filled with stuff, man, you can hit Dollar Tree and like 10 bucks, you're, you know, golden, right? But now you say, I want to help, but I can't do all of that by myself. That's okay. We'll put some people together, but we want to have some accountability, and we want to have some people that are willing to give, right? So again, like I said, this next 2 months, I'm going to ask you to give and do a lot more than we generally do. I mean, you know, we don't ask you to do a whole lot, right? Give a whole lot other than what God has put on your heart to do. But we need to share the love of Christ, especially right now in the chaos that's happening around us. Amen. So if you'll be a part of those. And now what I want you to do, let's stand up. Let's sing. And then before we get up out of here, God's good to us. Amen.